I'm going to invite Bright up now, and you know, sometimes you go to these different places and they do these great introductions, and I often think, oh, you know, do we need all that? But I do want to give some honour to Bright and his family, just as he comes, because they're just amazing family, and you know, his wife's a doctor, his sister's a doctor. How are you going with your law degree, Bright? Is that getting there? Yeah? So he's going to be have a theology degree, and so we have lawyers and doctors, and I mean, they could go and just live their life, right? And look after themselves. It'd be pretty easy to do when God's given you that kind of brains, wouldn't it? But this family has dedicated their life to serving the poor and the vulnerable. And I just want to honour your family for that. I get emotional thinking about it. I want to honour Bright because when I first met him, it's had a massive influence on my life personally and shook me out of my apathy for the poor and the vulnerable in the world as well. It's had a massive impact on my family as well. And your family's amazing, Bright, and I just want to honour you. And I know he's coming to Australia hoping to, I guess, get some encouragement, and we just want to say, look, we just love your family, and we hope we can do all we can to bless you and love you. So thanks for being part of today, but yeah, we certainly just appreciate and love your whole family. So.
Thank you, Mike. It's a great pleasure to stand before you and share the word of God. I was so humbled. I'm still humbled and overwhelmed with the love that you have for us. I just want the entire orphanage, I want my dad to see my entire family to see this love, you know, the wonderful people loving us. It's just a wonderful thing. You know, the passage I'm going to share, the topic of this message is God of the Nobodies. It starts from that's my son. I'm trying hard to make you listen. He's trying hard to distract me. So, yes, it's a wonderful story of. I was amazed how God, full of compassion, full of love, in the story. Full of love in the story. You see, this story you would have read many times, and it's many times you might have read about Lazarus, and this one is very unique because there is something in the story that has struck me when I was first reading it. Kept on reading it. It just amazes how God has a special place in His heart for the nobodies, those who are not counted. In India, when incidents happen, there'll be thousands of people dying. The media would say, oh, 200. And those people are not even counted for. Even in their deaths, there are many people on the street just dying. And they're called a living dead. Nobody cares for them. It is just like that, because the Hindu system goes on to say this karma, you know, what you have done in your previous life, that's why you have become like this. You suffer because you have done something wrong. And if you think in that way, then you don't want to help. But here in the story, we see a wonderful God, a compassionate God, a God you and I worship. An amazing story of His compassion. His love outpost. He has a big love. A big love for us. A big love for the nobodies. Big love for the counted not people. The have-nots of the world. Here we see there's two crowds. One crowd is coming in. One crowd is going out. In India, and even in those days, in the biblical days, it's when you want to go somewhere, when you want to go to a marriage or a good thing, or you know, you don't want something bad. So if somebody is bringing a dead person, that's a bad sign. It's really bad. So usually people avoid that. Or if there's somebody bringing dead, and you're going for a marriage, you're going for to meet a friend, you're going for a job, you skip that. You go the other way. and you wait until the bad thing goes past, and then later on you move on. Even in those days it was the same case. But here we see Jesus going towards the situation. And there's two crowds we see. One crowd behind Jesus because he has been a miracle worker. The history says he was a miracle worker. There was a big crowd always behind him. The history says that. So the miracle worker has a big crowd. That's wonderful. But for this poor widow, the only son she had has died. Being a widow is almost, you lost your better half. And all you had is your son, the only son. He also died. So there is a crowd that says, oh, I pity her. I have empathy to her. I love her. Oh, she's such a wonderful woman. And this has happened to her. So there's a crowd that says, she's such a sweetheart. She's such a wonderful lady. And so there's a crowd that has so much of love inside her. Going out for her. Even in India, you know, when my father grew up in the orphanage, the founder of that orphanage, when he died, there were around 10,000 people in the funeral. There were not even a place to stand. When bad people die, there'll be nobody there. People be in the houses, they'll just say, God did justice. You know, when bad people die. So here, in this widow's story, she was a good woman and the son was a good man. So there was a big crowd following. And I don't know whether you know the plea of a widow here. If you aren't a widow, you're done in the society. In India, there's a lot of widows coming. A lot of widows, they just, you know, our gates are always open. Anyone, while I'm still standing here, maybe it's too late, too early in the morning. But there are times when I get a call, you know, there's a lady and two children have come in. And all we do is we welcome them with open arms. And once they stay, the next morning, most of them, they say, this is the peaceful night I've slept the last 3 years, 2 years, like that. You know, a widow in India has to go under somebody else, under the shelter of a man, sometimes by force, sometimes by... There is, if the widow doesn't want to go under a man, then there is abuses. There's lots and lots of things. So all these things even was there in those biblical times. But what amazes me here in the story was there was nobody asking nobody. There was nobody asking nobody, but Jesus, full with compassion, full of love, full of mercy, full of grace, he went towards that widow who was crying. He said, don't cry. It was amazing that he went into that bad situation. She would have thought, my life is over. I don't know what I'm going to do. My breadwinner, the son who is my world. My world has been gone. Jesus said, I'm there. He went and said, do not cry. He did not stop there. He went on towards the coffin and raised the son. And the Bible says wonderfully, Jesus says, young man, I say to you, get up. And the Bible again goes on in 15b, Jesus gave him back to his mother. Wonderful, isn't it? God, that's a God we are serving. He's an incomparable God. The people who talk about Jesus' bad thing, they do not know this God of the Bible. The God of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth, they do not know. The God of compassion, God of love, God of full of mercy, they do not know anything about him. Not even a single person. You know, this is not only here in this we see God giving preference time and again throughout the gospel. God has a special place for the nobodies. When, you know, when the first declaration of Messiah going to be born, the official declaration through the angels were given to the outsiders, well, the shepherds. God, I was always wondering when my Bible comes, God, why are these shepherds important for them? What can they bring to the table? Nothing. They can't bring anything good to the baby Jesus. They are not rich at all. They are countless people. They are nothing. The three wise men came seeing other things. But these shepherds were officially given the Messiah going to be born. A wonderful thing. God gives for the world, they are nothing, but God, in God's sight, they are precious. When Jesus turned the water into wine, it's in, even in those days in India, they do, when you have a marriage, they invite everybody. Literally, everybody. Otherwise, people get upset. Oh, you didn't invite me, I'm not talking to you anymore. So, they invite everybody. And then, once the invited guests have eaten, the uninvited, the not so worthy, countless, the nobodies go in and eat the leftovers. It has been a custom, and it has been a custom in those days as well. But in that wedding at Canaan, the custom changed. The best ever wine made was given to the poor. The nobody in a marriage, when I am there, Jesus says, the poor, the nobodies of the world gets the best thing. I would even say the best wine ever was given to the nobodies. And it doesn't stop there in that Canaan. It was Mary was saying, come on, Jesus, do a miracle so that everybody in the marriage can see. But Jesus was very silent doing this. He asked the servants to pour, fill in the jars and serve. The only people who knew it was water becoming wine, the colorless water becoming colorful, was the servants. The world may ask, why God you are doing it to the servant? It was servants, what can they go and tell? This is your first miracle. You have to go out and say. Even the banquet manager there, he didn't know where the wine came from. The Bible says the servants knew. And wonderful. These people are precious in God's sight. And we see a woman thinking, oh, my life is going to be get over. The 10th stone or the 15th stone or the 25th stone that's going to hit me. I am done and dusted. I'm gone. My life has been over. When she was thinking like that, was Jesus there? No. Not when I am there. He was the only person who was rightfully able to judge and punish. He said, you go away. She thought her life is over. She's got into adultery. She's almost, my life is done and dusted. But God said, Jesus gave a new life. When there were so many men around trying to accuse her, she thought her life is no more. But Jesus gave second chance to her. And in God, there was nobody to help her. Now, if you think about it, if you put yourself there, it's everyone trying to accuse you. And she never thought Jesus is going to help her. But Jesus, no. I am there for the nobodies. He went on to help her and changed. Go and live a life without sin. Wonderful. He gave a life to her. And even at the resurrection, it was God giving priorities to the nobodies. It was this Mary Magdalene, as you might know, was the one who saw the resurrected Jesus first. Mary Magdalene was outcast. If the biblical stories were to be written up together, they would not add Mary Magdalene. Bible stories were written as though it has happened. Nobody, there was no big title on her. She's the nobody. Many people even not look at her. But her life was transformed. It was Mary Magdalene who saw the resurrected Christ. She was the one going on, "Jesus has been risen. I've seen it. God, here in this entire thing, we see God having a place for the nobodies. He has a special place. That has been an amazing thing. You know, I've seen my family grow. I've seen it. And God has been blessing this, because this is what the heart of God is. Whatsoever you do to the nobodies, the least, you're doing unto me." It's just an amazing thing. Even in an offering, when people were throwing their money, pulling out their jewelry and all these things, there was a poor widow. All she had, she put, and it was Jesus. "I'm not going to let it go like that. I'm going to recognize her. Among all the poor, all the rich people around there, I'm going to recognize her." We see that. It's God as a special place for the nobodies. Here today, as we go up of this place, we worship a God who loves the nobodies. This is a different side of God. His heart for the nobodies is big. This God knows the pain. Knows our pain. Knows the pain of everybody around the world. And this God is incomparable. He's an amazing God. And you and I should be very proud that this God is the God we worship. It's not us doing things. In Indian religious terms, we always do things. Oh, we have to go to that temple. Go around the temple with our slippers. You know, walk to the temple. You see, you know, the psalmist said, I look up to the hills. Where does my help come from? Because in those days, in biblical times, even in today in India, it's saying in all the mountains, they're all Hindu temples. I look up to the hills. Where does my help come from? It's not from the temples there. It comes from the Lord. Wonderful, isn't it? So here today, this God of the nobody, we are looking at this God of the nobodies, and let you and I pray that everything that God's heart breaks for, let our hearts also break. Let us see this world as He sees it. It's just amazing. I just love, there was nobody asking Jesus to do a miracle, but His compassion, His words, was just a wonderful thing. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, God, You are the God of the nobodies. You love these people, Lord. Even though we are not counted for, even though we are not considered, the people around the world suffer, and you know our suffering. You know the people who suffer, Father. We give You praise for who You are. Time and again in the Gospels, we have seen Your mercy, Your grace, Your compassion, and Your heart goes, Father, here today, let us praise you for who you are, Father. And let us see this world as you see it. Let us cry with you when people are suffering. And to reflect this God of the Bible, this God who is so much full of compassion, so much full of love, so much full of grace and mercy. Let our caring go before our sharing, Father. Even in this area, Swansea, in the neighborhood here, Father, let our caring go before our sharing. Let us share this God from the nobodies to the neighborhood here and around the world and in the place of need. Bless this church. Bless Pastor Matthew and his family and this entire church family, Lord. Let them be blessed. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.